On the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade Channel, you'll find real radio crusaders, not a bunch of former DJs acting all crusadery. You're listening to Crusade.
For the last time, I'm pretty sure what's killing the crops is this Brondo stuff.
The Brondo's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
So wait a minute. What you're saying is that you want us to put water on the crops?
Yes.
Water, like out the toilet?
Well, I mean, it doesn't have to be out of the toilet, but yeah, that's the idea.
But Brondo's got what plants crave.
It's got electrolytes.
Okay, look, the plants aren't growing, so I'm pretty sure that the Brondo's not working. Now, I'm no botanist, but I do know that if you put water on plants, they grow.
Well, I've never seen no plants grow out of no toilet.
Hey, that's good. You sure you ain't the smartest guy in the world?
Yeah.
Okay, look, you want to solve this problem. I want to get my pardon, so why don't we just try it, okay? And not worry about what plants crave.
Brondo's got what plants crave.
Yeah, it's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know?
It's what they use to make Brondo.
Yeah, but why do they use them to make Brondo?
Because Brondo's got electrolytes.
Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Lancaster Size Speakers here on a Tuesday afternoon. It's a little past 3:40, or as they say in the north of England, it's 3:30. Actually, closer to 4 p.m., a little past 9:40 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:40 Eastern Time. This is part of our continuing live coverage here of the King Dude's Invasion of Mary's Dowry. We're on day four now. We began a Saturday in Cambridge. Today, Sunday, is followed by Sunday with the pilgrimage to Walsingham. And then yesterday, we were at St. Blessed John Henry Cardinal Newman in Birmingham. And then today we're in Lancashire, where this morning we walked the famous J.R.R. Tolkien Trail. And I've got a live report coming up from the trail, which is an absolutely incredible experience. If you ever get a chance to do it, please do it. So we are live, just to reiterate, and I welcome all of you that are listening via Regina Magazine. I actually just sent Beverly Stevens, the editor of Regina Magazine, the Mrs. Maggie O'Connell, and the remainder of the tour group up the hill to go to Lancaster Castle. I will join them shortly after this much-needed interview. Remember, if you've been listening to and enjoying what you've been hearing here all week long, and the King Dude's Invasion of Mary's Dowry here on the Crusade Channel, and you came over from Regina Magazine, take advantage of a special offer that we have. You can subscribe to our subscriber service, which will unlock the premium block on our app and give you complete access to that, which means it'll remove that nagging 23-minute long or every 23-minute commercial interruption. Cost a mere 23 cents per day, but for you, it's 11 cents per day if you use the coupon code REGINA and you subscribe for 1 year. Take 50% off. That's 50% off. Quite a deal, quite a savings, and I hope you'll take advantage of that. A special will be running all week long. Again, just go to crusadechannel.com, and you'll see the Regina Magazine welcome landing page. Again, take the coupon code is REGINA, 50% off your first payment of a Founders Pass membership at crusadechannel.com. Well, I began this morning at 6 a.m., Lancashire time from the Sherburn Olms, which is in a little town called Hurst of Green. And I began this morning and we talked an awful lot about this exploding controversy surrounding Pope, the Holy Father, Pope Francis, the Holy Father Emeritus, Pope Benedict XVI, and this broadening scandal with a clergy that are just in the higher ranks of the Catholic Church. Clergy, prelates that include bishops, that include cardinals, now that include nuncios, that have all been in at some level, or I shouldn't say all, many have been in and have been revealed to have had something to do with the cover-up that led to the decades-long abuse, homosexual abuse. Again, if we suffer from clericalism, I say we suffer from homoclericalism. And to bring you up to speed on this, news is breaking so fast, I can't keep up with all of it, especially since I'm just trying to keep my wits about me and stay on a six-hour delayed schedule and broadcast back to the Crusade Channel studios. But I know someone who can, and he is my my good friend. He is the founder of the Lepanto Institute. That's L-E-P-A-N-T-O, institute.org. And, of course, I'm speaking of Michael Hitchburn, who is not in Mary's Dowry, although I believe he's been to Mary's Dowry, and is in the comfortable environs of the Shire, that is north, I guess that's kind of north northwestern Virginia. Mr. Hitchburn, how are you?
Well, you know, I'm not there over in England to enjoy the tea and crumpet that you've been enjoying, but yeah, I can be there in solidarity with my own accent.
And it sounds like you are there in solidarity with your own accent. Have you been here?
No, I've never been to Mary's Dowry. I had a very brief layover in Dublin when I went to Rome back in May, but that's the closest I've ever been to the Queen's Land.
Well, I got to tell you, if you ever get a chance, take advantage of it and come here, because there's just, as it was being explained to me earlier today, this island is not that, it's not that big. It would fit inside Oregon, for example.
Funny.
Yeah, but you have over 1,000 years of recorded history that is, I just continue to marvel at it. At every little stop, well, you know, here in 1114, this happened here. I'm like, no way! Well, if you look back, come over here, and in 1233, at 4 in the afternoon, this happened here. It's just incredible. I'll tell you something that I've learned here, though. Despite 500 years of the existence of the Church of England, Anglican Church, 300 years of Catholicism basically being made legal here, Catholic England never disappeared. She was always here at some level. Yeah, we heard the story today from Michael Dernan, our resident tour guide and historian, that the many, if you lived outside of London, you actually could exist as what was called a recusant, or a recusant, as we might pronounce it, and still be a Catholic and just refuse to go to Church of England services or Anglican services. And they repealed those laws wholesale and got rid of all of them in 1829. But Catholicism never stopped here in England. And, you know, it's just amazing, the mannerisms and all the politeness and the Christianization of a civilization, which the church brought to England, and it certainly brought with the Roman Catholics, who were the last Romans to occupy here, like in the 4th century or so, or early 5th century. There's no doubt that England was once, and I believe remains, although maybe not everyone agrees with this, but someday, if certain individuals here have their prayers answered, it will once again be Catholic England. But it's just amazing. I mean, there's just Catholic this, Catholic here, churches here, old worship sites here, pilgrimages, you name it. It is as I said, a rich history. But that's not what we're here to talk about here today. Now, you're one of the guys, one of the people that know, for people that don't know and haven't listened to this show, and maybe haven't read the Lepanto Institute website for quite some time, or maybe never, you may not have known of Michael's work, but for a long time, you told me that you knew something of the existence of what's called the Lavender Mafia, and yep, which is the cover-up, the homosexual cover-up ring for high-ranking prelates. When I say high, Anything above priest to me is high. High-ranking prelates inside the church going all the way back to the turn of the last of this century, correct?
Oh, well, yeah. My grandparents were very, very much aware of the homosexual infiltration of the Catholic Church. I remember back in 1993, my grandparents getting a set of audio cassettes that were recorded by Father John O'Connor. And the title of the audio cassettes was The Homosexual Conspiracy Against the Catholic Church. And he cited heavily from a Father Rueda, who wrote a book about the homosexual infiltration of the Catholic Church. And I became somewhat aware back then, and that's the year, actually, that I entered college. So I became somewhat aware back then. And then as time wore on, I became more and more aware of the homosexual infiltration of the church. And then, of course, the big scandal broke in the early 2000s. I wound up, via my wife, she read the book and told me excerpts as we would drive, Goodbye, Good Men, which was all about the homosexual infiltration of the seminary. So, you know, I became somewhat aware of this back in the early 90s, but my eyes have been opened more and more, and all the revelations that are coming out now is stuff that I heard about 10, 15, 20 years ago.
You know, somebody said something yesterday in one of the, I can't remember if it was on Facebook or something, but and maybe it was a private message that somebody sent me, but they said, dude, if you're in the top left-hand corner of the Drudge Report for 6 days in a row, either you did something amazingly right or you did something horribly wrong. So Pope Francis has been at the top left-hand corner of the Drudge Report for 7 days running now.
Wow.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think is the biggest thing, the biggest revelation that has come out of this? I know people that are very level-headed, unlike me, and don't engage in some of these things to make folly, but to make entertainment out of them, if you will. Although we never lose sight of the ultimate goal, which is the Catholicizing of the U.S. She's like, I'm here to make common cause with my friends and brothers and sisters in Christ who are working for a Catholic England. I pray that they'll join us in solidarity and working for Catholic Louisiana first, maybe my little town, Catholic Virginia, or maybe your little town or your diocese in Virginia. So I'll never lose track of that. These things that we've learned here, even if you're a level-headed individual like my friend Brother Andre Marie, you know, Brother says this is a game changer. Now, we're speaking, of course, the nuncio, the papal nuncio to Pope Benedict XVI. Now, I've gotten like 16 different pronouncements of his name, and I'm traveling.
Vigano.
Okay, thank you. So it just kind of catches up on what you have heard and read about what former nuncio Bishop Vigano or Archbishop Vigano. I think that's his title today, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Archbishop Vigano. Mm-hmm.
Catch us up on this revelation, and then we'll talk about some of the fallout.
Well, okay. So over the weekend, Archbishop Vigano dropped a major bombshell on the whole homoclericalism conspiracy. That's been unfolding since late June. What he did, he revealed what he knew about the cover-ups of Cardinal McCarrick here in the United States, including Pope Francis and Pope Francis's involvement. He named names. He talked about how Cardinal Donald Wuerl was fully aware of what Cardinal McCarrick was doing. He talked about Cardinal Parolin. He talked about Pagano. He talked about, I can't remember his name, the former Vatican Secretary of State.
Is that Barome? Barome?
That sounds familiar. Sounds right. After a while, the Italian names kind of roll together for me. But, you know, he also talked about the fact that...
Oh, it's Pietro Parolin.
Huh?
Pietro Parolin.
Yes.
Yeah, Pietro Parolin. Well, he's the current Secretary of State.
Right, right. But he talked about the former one. And I can't remember his name. I think it starts with a B. But Bacciari or...
Bertoni. Like Bertoni.
That's it.
Tarcisio Bertoni.
So he mentioned them. He mentioned also the fact that Cardinal Farrell and Cardinal Supich were put into their positions by the influence of Cardinal McCarrick and Cardinal Wuerl. So, you know, when you look at what is happening right now and you see how many bad decisions were made in instilling these extremely liberal homosexualist bishops and cardinals in the United States, all done at the orchestration and behest of Cardinals Wuerl and McCarrick, and how even though Archbishop Bigineau had personally told Pope Francis about Cardinal McCarrick, Pope Francis completely ignored what he said and went ahead and reinstated Cardinal McCarrick, gave him positions of authority and influence, and that's, you know, that's part of the complicity. It's part of the cover-up. It's part of the engagement of the homo-clericalist conspiracy. That's what's happening. So that was the essence of Archbishop Bigineau's statement that he issued, 11-page statement that he issued over the weekend. And then, of course, I don't know if you saw this, but it was either last night or this morning. Do you know who Dr. Taylor Marshall is?
I do.
Okay, so Dr. Taylor Marshall, who has been a very staunch defender of Pope Francis, formally apologized to Rorate Cheli on Twitter because he very harshly chastised them for their coverage and statements on Pope Francis. And this morning, I watched a video that he produced where he went through the different reasons why Pope Benedict resigned. And some of the things that he pointed out really kind of called to question the validity of Pope Benedict's resignation. I know that secretly or privately, a lot of people have been wondering this, but we might actually be at the point where this needs to be an open question.
Now, Michael Hitchburn of the Lepanto Institute is on the Dude Maker Hotline with us, and I'm Mike Church, and I am live sitting in a what they call an auto lot right outside of Lancaster Castle in England on the King Dude's Invasion of Mary's Dowry tour, and reminding you that we're in partnership with Regina Magazine at reginamag.com, and of course Regina Magazine on the Facebook, and I'm with the editor of Regina Magazine, two of its writers, and one of its videographers, and we're here to make some common cause with our brothers and sisters in Christ in England. Well, that's why I'm here. Bev's also here for that too, but there's a tour group with us as well. Michael, one of the other things that we see, or that we saw in this 11-page, and I want to try to make as specific a reference to this as I can, that Vigano says this is a testimony. He didn't say it was a memo. It's the media industrial complex and all the those that are willing to carry the water pail for a Holy Father, a Pope, who seems to be as liberal on or quote liberal close quote on many issues as someone like Bill or Hillary Clinton or Charles Schumer or any of the other usual suspects in the Democrat Party. It seems to me that the Vigano must have thought hard about this, must have known that he would have a giant target painted on his back, and therefore didn't release this as a letter or as a memo or as, you know, my scathing autobiography that includes a chapter on Benedict and Francis and the handling of McCarrick. This is specifically, it's called a testimony, which to me means I swear that this is the truth, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And not only does he swear that it's the truth, but Pope Benedict the 16th actually came out and said, yes, I do recall that I had put sanctions on Cardinal McCarrick, but he could not recall the specific sanctions. He didn't recall what the nature of them were, but he definitely remembered that he had put sanctions on Cardinal McCarrick, which means that Pope Francis had to have reinstated Cardinal McCarrick in order for him to go around doing the things that he was doing. And Archbishop Vigano was very clear that Pope Francis had reinstated Cardinal McCarrick after Pope Benedict had put sanctions on him. And, you know, it's a huge indictment of Pope Francis, a huge indictment of him. But so Pope Benedict came out and confirmed the veracity of what Archbishop Vigano had said. Monsignor, and I cannot pronounce his name. I won't even try. But this particular Monsignor who worked with Archbishop Vigano also came out and said, yes, everything that he is saying is absolutely true. He knows because he worked with him at the Nunciature in Rome. So he saw the same things that Archbishop Vigano was saying. And then Cardinal or Bishop Morlino came out with a scathing statement. I mean, the things that are being said amongst the bishops and the cardinals and everything else, I really do think that we are starting to see the beginnings of what Our Lady meant when she said, you'll see bishops opposing bishops and cardinals against cardinals. This is a war. I mean, this is an absolute war.
It is a war. And speaking of Bishop Morlino, I actually happen to have that open here. Here's just part of his letter. Statement from Bishop Robert C. Morlino, 27 August 2018. By the way, folks, if you're listening at home going, hey, in the U.S., you know, back here in MAGA-land, it's August 27th. Well, everything here is 27, whatever date. 27 August 2018, regarding ongoing sexual abuse crisis in the church. He writes in part, in his statement, Cardinal DiNardo indicates that the recent letter of Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano, former apostolic nuncio to the United States, brings particular focus and urgency to the examination by the USCCB of the grave moral failings of bishops. The questions raised, Cardinal DiNardo says, deserve answers that are conclusive and based on evidence. Without those answers, innocent men may be tainted by false accusations, and the guilty may be left to repeat the sins of the past. With those convictions and sentiments, I find myself in completely in solidarity. However, I must confess my disappointment that in his remarks on the return flight from Dublin to Rome, the Holy Father chose a course of no comment regarding any conclusions that might be drawn from Archbishop Vigano's allegations. Pope Francis further said expressly that such conclusions should be left to the professional maturity of journalists in the United States and elsewhere. In fact, very little is more questionable than the professional maturity of journalists. The bias in the mainstream media could not be clearer and is recognized almost universally. I would never ascribe professional maturity to the journalism of the National Catholic Reporter, for example. And then he had some other things about this. I think that this is a profound point, Michael, because I've been covering this from the point of view. For those of you that don't know my background, I've been in talk radio business since 1992. My first presidential election was Bush versus Clinton, 1992. I saw up close and personal what Betsy Wright and James Carville and John Podesta and Hillary Clinton and all the rest of them, with George Stephanopoulos and D.D. Myers and all those little foot soldiers in the little Hegelian army that the Clintons surrounded themselves with. I saw up up close and personal, as many of you did, and you remember this, what they were able to do to destroy anyone that dared to oppose Bill Clinton. These same people and these same media types that hold the exact same point of views, if not even worse than those held by the Clintons at that time, will see no earth before them that they're not willing to scorch in order to do the bidding now instead of Bubba Clinton. By the way, I always thanked y'all back then. I think I'm thinking, I don't like this. I like this Pope fellow. He's one of my guys. No earth in front of them is not ready to be scorched. And you can already see, and this is what troubles me the most, because I've seen this for 26 years, when the Democrat Party, or even some in the Republican Party, when they spring into action to cover or to run interference and to do damage control, political damage control, I can tell you what it looks like. Michael Hitchburn, I'm telling you today, 28 August 2018, this looks like a Democrat Party cover-up.
Oh, without a doubt. Yes, yes. So, you know, in Pope Francis's statement, my wife, I read the statement to her when Pope Francis was on the plane and he was asked point blank about Archbishop Vigano's missive. And my wife looked at me and she said, was this written for him by one of Bill Clinton's team? I mean, it really it sounded like somebody who was using nothing but doublespeak in order to try and cover his tracks. It did not read like somebody who had any shred of shame or desire for truth.
And he certainly didn't read like someone who was even pursuing a religious, maybe even a discernment, a religious vocation, did it?
No, not at all. It's unbelievable to me that the Pope, the highest office in the entire Catholic Church, would turn to a bunch of journalists about a statement regarding something that he had done and say, well, why don't you determine the truth for yourself? Well, wait a minute. The Catholic Church is not about anybody determining the truth for themselves. The Catholic Church is about proclaiming the Gospels, which is the truth. And if you're not proclaiming the Gospels and you're engaging in some sort of political agenda, then clearly you are not engaging in the truth and you have no desire for it. I was talking to somebody this morning about the nature of a false prophet. You know, we were talking about Revelation. What is a false prophet? You know, people are saying, right. Oh, you know, Pope Francis is the false prophet. And I said, well, let's break down the words. Okay, first, let's talk about the word false. Now, some have said Pope Francis is the anti-pope. That's not possible. He can't be an anti-pope because in order to be an anti-pope, there has to be someone who is in existence that he is against. In other words, you have two claimants to the throne. If you do not have two claimants to the throne, then you can't have an anti-pope because the anti-pope is the one who is against the authentic pope in terms of claimancy. So Pope Benedict is not claiming that he is the rightful author or the rightful holder of the throne of Peter. So Pope Francis cannot be an anti-pope, but he can be a false prophet. So what do we mean by false? False is one who is not doing something that is true, is either a pretender or is proclaiming something that is untrue. Prophet. When we think about prophecy, people tend to think about things foretelling the future. They think about the prophets of the Old Testament. You know, all a prophet is, in true definition, is one who speaks on behalf of God. That's what a prophet is. The papal office is an office of prophecy. He is speaking on behalf of God. This is why we call him the vicar of Christ. He is the voice of the manifest head of the church. He is the official authority of God. So if we think about the words false prophet, if somebody is speaking and they are not speaking on behalf of God, then they would be a false prophet. So then somebody pointed out a long litany of the false teachings of Pope Francis, where he would say that the miracle of the loaves and fishes, for instance, was not a miracle of multiplication, but a miracle of sharing, where he simply convinced people to share the pickled fish and the dry loaves that they hid underneath their armpits as they were traveling through the desert. You also have sermons where Pope Francis said that at the crucifixion, Mary must have wanted to yell at the Holy Spirit and call him a liar, as if she was truly despairing and did not believe that Christ was fulfilling the reason he came into being, the reason for the incarnation. He said that she would have wanted to call the Holy Spirit a liar, which is blasphemy. No, Our Lady was never tempted to blasphemy. But these are the kinds of things that Pope Francis has taught. So in a very true sense, whether he's the false prophet of Revelations is something yet to be seen. But we can start saying, by the very definition of what a false prophet is, I think it's probably pretty clear. Yes, he is speaking as if he is speaking for God, but he is speaking untruth. And so what he is doing is a false prophecy, and therefore he is a false prophet.
Mike Church Show here on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. We are live here, or I am live, in Lancaster, England today on my 10-day-long tour of England, and I've attended several religious services already, or events, if you will, including the pilgrimage to Our Lady of Wolsey on Sunday. Today I am visiting all throughout Lancashire. Walked the J.R.R. Tolkien Trail this morning. I'll tell you all about that in a special piece that we are going to put together later today. Right now I am in the parking lot of the ancient Lancashire Castle, where Michael, I believe, 15 of the 20 martyrs during the penal era here in England, that of those that were martyred, that were either living in or working in, and maybe a priest that was working in at that time in Lancashire, were imprisoned here. This is a beautiful castle that was turned into a prison at one time, and then were ultimately executed under the penal laws of Elizabeth and Queen Elizabeth and Charles the First. So I'm going to go in and take the tour of the castle. But meanwhile, I'm stopping here to test out our new codec and broadcasting equipment. And as you can hear, we sound jolly good, jolly ho, from merry old England. I was just looking to see. Now, when we think of what the Holy Father has said thus far about this, and what he might have said about this instead of what he said about it, there are two possibilities. One, that he'd already been briefed and already been told, look, they're getting really, we have so many leaks out there, there's no way we can put all these people away that knew about this. If a giant shoe drops, so to speak, like the former nuncio for Pope Benedict XVI, Archbishop Vigano, if a giant shoe drops, here's going to be our response. Here's going to be our strategy. This is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to say. Don't deviate from the plan. Listen to the advisors. Do what they tell you to do, and you'll be just fine. You'll survive this. We must also remember that Archbishop Vigano, he didn't just write that, look, I've known about this. I should have said something long ago. For that I am a mea culpa, mea moxia, mea culpa. But now that I feel that I must tell the story, I also say, and he says it with some sadness, that now that this has been revealed, is there a condition under which he implied or stated that Pope Francis should resign and that we might be better off now having two Pope Emeritus and a new election to elect a successor? Was that a conditional statement, or was that just, okay, he's gone far enough, he's complicit, he needs to quit?
I will read you exactly what he said.
Okay.
He said, in the United States, a chorus of voices is rising, especially from the lay faithful,
and has recently been joined by several bishops and priests, asking that all those who, by their silence, covered up the Carrick's criminal behavior or who urged use them to advance their career or promote their intentions, ambitions, and power in the church should resign. He then goes on to say, in this extremely dramatic moment for the Universal Church, speaking of Pope Francis, he must acknowledge his mistakes, and in keeping with the proclaimed principle of zero tolerance, Pope, and he underlines in bold this part, he says, Pope Francis must be the first to set a good example for the cardinals and bishops who covered up for McCarrick's abuses and resign along with all of them.
Wow. I mean, folks, 3 weeks ago, or 4 weeks ago, August the 1st, I believe, Chris Ferrara from The Remnant and from American East Fatima Now, and the author of Liberty, the God that Failed, a book that we have in my trading post store, mikechurch.com/shop. Chris Ferrara said something that I've lost a pair of friends. I have a contractor that works with me that is that we're ultimately, I fear, going to lose. I've lost actual personal friends in my neighborhood and that I knew in social media. Because of Ferrara's interview and what I said, which was I didn't rebuke him. I didn't sternly enough say, you, Chris Ferrara, you can't say that this Pope is off the rails and that we live in terminal times. That's beyond you. You're laity. You need to sit down and shut up. You're not allowed. We're not allowed to say things like that. Now, what Chris Ferrara said was all based on fact. It was all based, as a comparison of the history that's gone before us. I don't know if you know who Roberto de Mattei is, do you?
I know him personally, yes.
Oh, my goodness. Have you read this piece that he wrote? Well, maybe you haven't because it's in an English publication. But I just happened to meet Selena, who's one of the publishers here. The magazine is called Calix Mariae, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he has a piece in it, and I think this was published a couple of months ago, but it came out, it's from Voice of the Family here in England, and this particular piece came out and from Mattei and deals with the question of, number one, what can someone that is that has taken the sacramental, that's received the indelible mark of the sacrament of religious orders, that's one. What can they say, and when should they invoke that that responsibility or that privilege to say it? But also for the laity, and it's so well explained and in such detail. I read significant parts of it this morning on the show, and you can get this as part of our on-demand service at crusadechannel.com. I read Mattei's piece, and he says that one of the problems in modern Catholicism is I'm paraphrasing. So, Mr. Mattei, if you hear me go, like, that's not exactly what I said, Mike. I'm paraphrasing. His papal sycophancy and the idea that papal supremacy is what makes him infallible, that he is supreme in everything. And we're not allowed to, nor should we even entertain the thought that a Holy Father could ever be wrong. And if he is wrong, well, you're just supposed to ignore it. Don't worry about it because the Holy Ghost is at work, which is what friends of mine have told me. Mike, you and your wife and your little buddies, y'all need to shut up. The Holy Ghost is in charge. God's in charge. He knows what he's doing. This is not a role for us. We have nothing to say about this. Get on your knees and pray and be quiet. I'm like, why should I have even converted then? If the church militant is on the rings and is being beaten by Beelzebub and the boys, and is being beaten by human hands that he is conscripted to do this, and I see him or I see her being beaten, don't I have a duty to respond, Mr. Hitchburn?
Without a doubt. I mean, you know, we call it the church militant because we're not supposed to be lying around on our laurels. You know, it's not the church lazy.
It's the church militant. We're supposed to get up and fight. You know, pick up your sword and fight. What's the sword? Well, the sword is the rosary. The shield is truth. I mean, we have the weapons that we need in order to fight this war. And we are at war. We have to remember we're at war. We're against... who are we fighting against? The powers and principalities of this world, okay? So what is a power? A power would be like demons. What's a principality? It's not just earthly principalities like kings and presidents and things like that. We have to remember bishops are princes of the church.
That's right.
They are royalty. And if we're fighting against the principalities of this world, then we're also fighting against bishops who are of this world. We have to recognize who the enemy is. We have to be able to identify the enemy. That means intelligence. That means that we have to be vigilant in understanding and knowing the truth. When we have bishops that are out there proclaiming an anti-gospel and a false narrative regarding the church, then we have to be equipped to be able to combat that when it happens. And, you know, if we're going to sit there and say, oh, well, you know, we just have to pray. Well, yes, prayer, sacrifice, mortification, all very essential. In fact, should be the first thing that you do. But it's not the only thing that you do. It can't be the only thing that you do. Because if there is an untruth, you have an obligation to witness to the truth. You are a witness. You are called as witnesses. And so when we have false preaching coming from bishops, coming from cardinals, and coming from the man who is wearing a papal tiara, well,
right.
If it's a false teaching, it's a false teaching. And you have a duty and an obligation to stand up and combat false teachings. Period. End of story.
Mike Churchill here on the Crusade, king-size truth from radio-size speakers. I'm sorry, from Lancashire-size speakers. Michael Hitchburn of the Lepanto Institute, my regular Tuesday guest here on the Dude Maker Hotline. And I would give our phone number out today, but it wouldn't matter because I'm in England and really not taking any calls. We are discussing, of course, the letter that or the testimony that was sent out by the former nuncio to Pope Benedict XVI, which apparently... Now, Michael, what's the source? Do we know anything about the source of Pope Benedict saying, yes, I do recall this, yes, it did happen, I cannot give you any details? Anything about Pope Benedict actually kind of seconding or saying, like, the nuncio, the archbishop, is correct?
LifeSite News reported on it 2 days ago, I believe.
Okay, I see that.
And I don't. They did say. Let's see. What was it they said? So there were sources in the Vatican spoke with National Catholic Register. So they're not revealing their sources, and I think that that's wise not to, because at this point, with the war amping up and the battle raging as it is, I mean, Archbishop Vigano fears for his life.
I'm sure he does.
He has gone into hiding. Nobody knows where he is. So it's a very bad situation at the moment because, well, these people, they do murder, okay? They do kill people. There's no doubt about this. I don't know specifically who has committed murder, but these are not people that are going to go quietly into that good night. So
can I read you something from Rod Dreher about Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano?
Yes, go ahead.
I was one of the people who believed that Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano intervened to quash the independent of investigation of Minneapolis Archbishop John Neinstedt's alleged homosexual double life. Now Vigano has come forward to say he did no such thing. Quote, accusations against my person appeared in the media in July 2016 when I had already left my mission in Washington, D.C., following the publication of a memorandum written by Father Dan Griffith, the then delegate for the protection of minors in the diocese, in the archdiocese. These allegations, alleging that I ordered the two auxiliary bishops of Minneapolis to close the investigation into the life of Archbishop John C. Neinstedt, are false. Father Griffith was not present during my meeting at the nunciature with the Archbishop and the two and the two auxiliaries on April the 12th, 2014, during which several affidavits containing accusations against Archbishop Neinstedt were handed to me. These affidavits were collected by the law firm of Green Espel, who was retained by Father Griffith on behalf of the Archdiocese to investigate Archbishop Neinstedt. This firm belongs to the group Lawyers for All Families, who fought against Archbishop Neinstedt over the approval of same-sex marriage in the state of Minnesota. In one of the these affidavits, it was claimed that Archbishop Neinstedt had had an affair with a Swiss guard during a service in the Vatican some 20 years prior. Private investigators from the Green Espel firm had conducted an inquiry into an unbalanced and prosecutorial style, and now wanted immediately to extend their investigation to the Pontifical Swiss Guard without first hearing Archbishop Neinstedt. I suggested to the bishops who came to the nunciature on April the 12th, 2014, that they tell the Green Espel lawyers that it appeared to me appropriate that Archbishop Neinstedt be heard before taking this step. And then he gives a Latin term, audiatur et altera pars, which they had not yet done. I never told anyone that Green Espel should stop the inquiry, and I never ordered any document to be destroyed. Any statement to the contrary is false. So here you have now, as I said earlier, Archbishop Vigano had to have known that he would be one of the largest target in the physical world once this story broke, and apparently he was ready for this one. This says volumes about the machine, though, the PR machine that is in place and that can spring into action and can also, when it springs into action, can call down the mighty swift sword of the media industrial complex to try and defend something that they think is worthy of defense. What amazes me, or what saddens me about this, I guess I'm amazed and then I'm saddened, why don't you try manipulating the same media for, oh, I don't know, bringing about an end to abortions, bringing about an end to pediatricians running around the world saying it's okay for parents to tell their five-year-olds that they can, quote, transition, and they can be all doctored up and doped up on steroids and have their bodies mutilated in the process. There's all manner that prelates in high office that have taken holy orders could use the same power of the media and have it at their disposal. And Michael Hitchburn, they haven't done it. That's an outrage.
Well, I've been experiencing this myself personally with regard to my exposés of Catholic Relief Services, the Campaign for Human Development, and other organizations. Every single time I have exposed something, and I learned this pretty early on, that there is a mechanism in place that will go and scrub websites every time I find something and reveal it, which is why I had to start scrapbooking and screen capturing all sorts of information, because we'd post links to our findings, and within a couple of days, people were saying, oh, you guys must be full of it. I'm not. This link doesn't go anywhere. I don't see anything. So, you know, it's a pretty vast mechanism. Just to give you an example as to how powerful this mechanism is.
Okay.
When I investigated Catholic Relief Services in 2013 and 2014, I, along with a few others, discovered a project that CRS was involved in Kenya that was, they were actually promoting contraception through their programs. And I found these documents from PEPFAR, which stands for the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief. It's a government agency that gives out money to subcontractors to implement AIDS prevention programs.
Right.
CRS was a grant recipient of one of these projects. And we found PEPFAR documents that said CRS was implementing these programs. And I looked into what those programs were, and those programs were absolutely promoting contraception and condoms. And I went to Archbishop Coakley, I handed him all the documentation I had at that time and said, you know, this is a big problem. I'm working to try and figure this out, but this is my preliminary discovery. The next communication that I got from his office, which was many months later, was that CRS had met with PEPFAR, a PEPFAR representative in Nairobi, Kenya, and the representative apologized for mistakenly identifying CRS with this project and has since corrected the record. And when I went back to look at those same documents, they were completely altered. They were completely altered. Every mention of those projects, every mention of the contraception promotion was erased from those documents.
So my point, and just to be clear here, now think about the abilities that it takes to scrub all these documents. That's one thing. There's an awful lot of expertise, coding, HTML, all kind of JavaScript expertise in order to do this. To Michael's point that they're capable of covering their tracks, I just want to add my point, that my point is and remains, if you're able to manipulate the broadcast media in 24 hours, spring to your defense, and then to broadcast and run all manner of interference and to try to do what the Clintons began to perfect back in the late 80s and early 1990s, which is destroy the news person or the news the enemy or the innocent, usually, if you will, and of course the Clintons became experts at this. If you had the power to use the media for that, well, that would seem to me then you would the same media and same power could be brought to bear to bring about good. And in this instance, the only good it's bringing about is saving is CYA actions, covering people's you know what. That's not good enough. And again, you know what's missing from all this? Where's the holiness? Where's the, okay, look, we got a bunch of problems here. I'm calling for a worldwide day. I'll lead a worldwide day of fasting and prayer. I'll actually go on Vatican Radio, and we'll actually do rosaries for reparations. I promise you that there will be a list of names forthcoming and that men will begin losing their titles immediately. I've already asked this person in hierarchy and this person dot to step down. None of this. There's not even an indication that that's going to happen. This is like, I'm not answering your stupid dubia, and that's from Cardinals. I'm certainly not answering a quasi-dubia that's coming from a bunch of disgruntled traditional lay people. Am I reading that right?
I'm going to read to you something that I think that most people have forgotten about by now, but is incredibly prescient for this conversation. This is an email exchange between Sandy Newman, who is the president of Voices for Progress, and John Podesta. This is from the WikiLeaks emails. On February the 10th, 2012, she wrote, "John, this whole controversy with the bishops opposing contraceptive coverage, even though 98% of Catholic women and their conjugal partners have used contraception, has me thinking. There needs to be a Catholic spring in which Catholics themselves demand the end of the Middle Ages dictatorship and the beginning of a little democracy and respect for gender equality in the Catholic Church. Is contraceptive coverage an issue around which that could happen? The bishops will undoubtedly continue to fight. Does the Catholic Hospital Association support the administration's new policy together with the 98% create an opportunity? Of course, this idea may just reveal my total lack of understanding of the Catholic Church, the economic power it can bring to bear against nuns and priests who count on it for their maintenance, etc. Even if the idea isn't crazy, I don't qualify to be involved, and I have not thought about it all the way. Thought at all about how one would plant the seeds of revolution or who would plant them. Just wondering. Hoping you're well and getting to focus your time in the ways you want. Sandy." The response.
Wow.
The response from John Podesta. "We created Catholics in Alliance for the Common Good to organize a moment like this, but I think it lacks the leadership to do so now. Likewise, Catholic United. Like most spring movements,
I think this one will have to be bottom up. I'll discuss with Tara. Kathleen Kennedy Townsend is the other person to consult. And here's the interesting thing. That email exchange was in February, the very beginning of February of 2012. That was right before Pope Benedict announced his resignation.
Wow. Has anyone else made this connection? And I make the Podesta connection because I know the letter you're talking about, but I never fleshed the letter out because, quite frankly, I'd forgotten the sordid details. Now that I'm reminded, folks, you're hearing news being broke right in front of your very ears here on the Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Lancashire Style Speakers. Have you seen anyone connect these dots, or have you done this yet?
Not the Podesta emails. I haven't seen anybody connect those dots.
This is profound.
Yeah. So that was 2012, and it was exactly 1 year later that Pope Benedict announced his resignation. So
she says we already have people in place. Yep. She says the people are in place.
Now, here's the other thing that's interesting.
Can I just add one more thing before you say that? Yeah. Now, we're talking about people that were in the upper echelon of those who were working inside what was then known as the Clinton Global Initiative. Clinton Global Initiative was, and I suspect probably still is, in on every one of these non-governmental organization scams and plots and conspiracies that have touched Catholic Relief Services, campaign for the Catholic Campaign for Human Development, and all of these other groups. So don't tell me that there was, I don't see a connection, you and Hitchburn are stretching. No, you're stretching to try and ignore what's right in front of your very ears. I had completely forgotten about this letter. Wow, I'm blown away.
This gets even more interesting.
Okay.
On January the 1st, 2013, which is a peak holiday time, there were no ATMs functioning anywhere inside Vatican City. Did you know that?
I had heard that from someone somewhere before, but I don't know why that date is significant.
Well, because that was 1 month before Pope Benedict announced his resignation. And what wound up happening, there was a... this was right around the time that the Vatican Bank scandal had hit. Cardinal, or Archbishop Vigano, by the way, was at the very center of exposing the rot at the Vatican Bank. He took the Vatican Bank from being $10 million in the red to being $40 million in the black. And he did it by consolidating a lot of hidden accounts. These were accounts that were being used in the Vatican that were off the books, and they were being used for illicit things. So he consolidated all of those into the Vatican Bank, and he was also exposing the fact that there were people in the Vatican Bank and using the Vatican Bank that were in just absolutely corrupt. So he was cleaning up the corruption at the Vatican Bank. And so he had worked hard to clean up the corruption at the Vatican Bank. And then in January of 2013, a year after the Podesta email, suddenly SWIFT, which I can't remember what it stands for, but it's the International Transaction System, decided that the Vatican was not allowed to do international transactions anymore, and that's why the ATM machines stopped working. Those ATM machines did not come back on until after Pope Francis announced his resignation.
Wow. Oh, you mean Pope Benedict?
Or Pope Benedict.
Incredible stuff here. Michael Hitchburn is with the Lepanto Institute at lepantoinstitute.org. Michael, it's been just about an hour, so we're going to have to wrap it up here. But these last 10 minutes here with the tying together of the pieces of the Podesta letter and the chain that goes back to some of the Catholic entities that you mentioned, and then again recognizing that, look, when you're talking about Mrs. Clinton's campaign in 2012 or whatever it was that she was doing then, of course, she was still Secretary of State at the time. This would then place, when they talked about people being placed, this would then place people then in high places. Inside Catholic hierarchy that also could be were in high places inside or and were in the know and connected to the Clinton Global Initiative. Now, it's not a global initiative for no reason. So wow, what a series of events. Well, Michael, I know you're going to stay on the case, and I know that you're just waiting for your phone to chime. Or an email note to go off, or Facebook, or something. So please keep us and our and our Crusade Channel listeners in the know. If you got something, just pop it on over to me so that I can pop in and get it out to the listeners.
Well, and if I keep looking into this too much, I might have to join Archbishop Bigano and go into hiding.
No hiding for you. You have too many children to go into hiding.
This is true. There's with number seven along the way, it's going to be hard with those ducklings following behind.
Well, God love you, brother. Stay on the case, folks. You heard some blistering, serious commentary and stringing together of some news items here today. Hopefully you take us, you take this with the seriousness of which it deserves, which I know Michael tries to treat it with, and as do all of us here, that we that are urging the laity to not back off. Look, if I had to describe this in secular terms, but you know, I should describe it in prayer terms and not be like those that are acting Podesta-like inside the church hierarchy. In secular terms, I might say, look, the bad guys that have infiltrated and mean nothing but harm, and have wreaked all and have been willing to wreak all this scandal and damage upon Holy Church. Now, I want to be clear about who I'm talking about, because I'm not talking about my and your and our Lord's Catholic Church. I'm talking about what these men's perverted version of it is, which seems to me is just another awful version of some sort of a Protestant or other sort of heresy or apostasy or whatever. Is that fair?
I think that's absolutely fair.
This is not our church that we're talking about. We're talking about people that have defiled our church and are still, because they refuse to leave, are defiling her reputation at this moment, are giving millions upon millions of souls, I fear, great trepidation and hesitation in, well, why should I convert? Look at all the problems you have. Well, here's why you should convert to the church, because she will survive this, right?
Yes,
she will survive this. She will survive this. The real deals won't survive something like this. So bear that in mind, and keep all of us in all of your prayers. And if I were to describe this from a laity point of view that seeks a holy one, I'd say stay with Father Heilman, stick with the 54-day novena, stay with your own personal prayer regimen. You know, you can join my Crusader Knights of the Most Holy Rosary. I'm sure Michael has a prayer recommendation or two. Stay close to Our Lady. She predicted this. She tried to stop it. She tried to prevail upon men. She was sent here for all of those apparitions and Fatima and Akita and Our Lady of Good Success and all those for a reason. So stay close to Our Lady. Keep your rosary in your pocket. At any point in time, you have any doubt, you know, I don't know, man. It sounds like I'm... Pray upon it. Ask the Holy Ghost to help. Ask her, Mother, I don't want to scandalize or embarrass. I don't want to bring any more infamy to the church. I think that's a fine thing to do. I think we should be doing it. I try to make myself do it a couple times, even sometimes a couple times an hour. Wait a minute. Maybe I shouldn't say that. Stay close to Our Lady, and don't back off. And do not let your friends and your lukewarm buddies who really don't care about this and don't think that there's anything for laity or don't think that the church militant should be around anymore anyways because we have the church happy. Stay in the fight. Stay engaged. But again, do all you can to remember you're Catholic, Christian even. Stay holy. Do all you can to stay holy, and you'll come out on the right side of this. Well, why don't you give some final words of wisdom?
Well, in addition to that, I think that it's important for us to start making prayers of reparation, acts of reparation. I mean, just think about the vast homosexual network within the church and consider that every single mass that was said by any of these active homosexual priests, bishops, cardinals, every single mass is a sacrilege. Every single one. Every single communion that they received while in a state of sin because of their active homosexuality is a sacrilege. And that sacrilege is something that is being conducted and conferred on every continent. It is the worst thing. It is the worst thing that these men could be doing. And every time they commit that sacrilege, they are attaching more and more demons to this earth, and those demons are going to be continuing to fight against us, and we have to make acts of reparation if we're going to defeat those demons and if we're going to assuage the fury of God the Father for what we are doing to his Son. So, acts of reparation, we've got to do it. That was what Our Lady called for at Fatima. The angel said, penance, penance, penance. If we're not doing that, we're not doing what Our Lady asked, and we will suffer the consequences.
All right, folks, you heard it here first. Michael, great show today. Great to have you with us. Thanks for spending some time with me on my British invasion. I'll tell Bev you said hello, and God love you and your beautiful family. Stay in a fight, brother.
You too, man, and enjoy that medieval castle. Stay medieval.
I will stay medieval. I'm going to go all medieval up on someone in a minute here.
You know, maybe we need to
all right, Michael, we'll talk.
And T-shirts that say, stay medieval, my friend.
Stay medieval. Stay medieval, my friends. All right, brother, we'll talk soon. Thank you.
God bless.
All right, God bless you. Folks, coming up in just 15 minutes or so, Rick Barrett from the Barrett Brief with a brand new episode of the Barrett Brief. I'm going to go tour that castle I was just telling you about. But if you've been enjoying the live radio that we have been doing yesterday and today here on the Crusade Channel, and you came over from Regina Magazine or maybe the English Latin Mass Society or anywhere else, look, know you're welcome, number one. Number two, we rely on your memberships and your purchases and your donations. Please take advantage of the 50% off coupon code to become a Founders Pass member. The Founders Pass is how we support the Crusade Channel and the Veritas Radio Network. Just go to VeritasRadioNetwork.com or CrusadeChannel.com. They're one and the same site. And you get that coupon code, Regina, and you can use that to become a Founders Pass member and take 50% off your first payment. So I do it by the year, so you get your first year for half price. Again, that's CrusadeChannel.com. And if you'd like to shop in my store, we have fantastic English-themed specials all week today. I believe today is Joseph Pierce books, signed by Joseph Pierce, the one and only, signed and dated by Joseph, on sale today in my store, Mike Church's Founders Trading Post. Simply go to mikechurch.com/shop. And if you'd like to see all the audio and video and special features and galleries from my trips and my escapades all over England, well, go to my website, mikechurch.com. Follow me on Twitter, @TheKingDude, or on the Facebook, Mike Churchill fan page. I want to thank our young studio technician crew back there in New Orleans, young Yakub, doing a fantastic job keeping us on air. All of you for sending your prayers and staying in touch with us while we're here. Michael Hitchburn for being our special guest. Michael Dernan for being my very special guest this morning as well. And to all of you crusaders out there, may God bless you and Mary keep you.